This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour from the Sunbury Motor Studio is brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses, even the suit. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. And we took a vote. We'd like to see the suit start his journey. What? No. I mean, did you interpret that wrong?
Sounds right to me.
Oh, man. And, yeah. All right. So, a couple things. By the way, they have now EA Sports over 10,000 college football players, which is an 85% rate, have said, yeah, put me in the game. I'll take the $600. Plus, you get a free game. Plus, you get a free game, which is worth $70. Now, are you going to get the game? Now, I know the suit's going to get the game.
Oh, I'm going to get the game.
You are going to get the game?
I'm going to get the game.
And I know the suit's been aching for years to get the game, so he is a definite.
I'm a definite.
Good. I'm not. Suit just texted me. I await the release date. We were saying the same thing about him just the other day. Just walks into stuff. they haven't said what the release date is. But you get $600 plus you get a free copy of the game if you're in the game. Okay. And believe me, I think it's the latter part where they love being, I mean, the players love the idea they're in the game. Hey, here I am. Look what I can do. They love being in the game. Yeah, I got the 600, but I'm in the game. So, well, when that comes out, that's going to be a bestseller. It should be in July, I believe. So,
maybe that's going to be part of the month off for his birthday. If it comes out in July, that's a whole lot of gaming.
I forgot about that. Yes, that's right. It is the month of Kevin.
My birthday is July too. Can I take? Do I get the month too?
Well, I mean, you might as well follow the lead of management. Oh man, yeah. Again, I've never played a video game, so it's not. I think it's great for everybody to have a lot of fun with it, enjoy it, the whole deal. It sounds like it's a great deal. Yeah, it's just not my, you know. I've never really had a desire to play video games. You know. Now, that doesn't mean as a kid, he had Stratomatic. Baseball, you had APA baseball. APA was out of Lancaster. So I had APA. So I had an APA baseball game and I had an APA football game. So I played those games when I was a kid into my teens. I always did all-star teams. I didn't do straight, my team against your team. I'd set up like 8 all-star games and play a season and things like that. That's how I did it. But, yeah, I had... know, so I had that growing up. But when it came to video, now, and part of it too is when video game, yeah, I stopped playing the APA games because, you know, it was time to get out there and get to work. You know, so, you know, time became a little more problematic. And so I stopped playing them. And then when video games came along, look, I'm all over the place, as you know. And a lot of travel, getting ready for games, things like that. I just don't have. So I never developed any interest in doing it because I was just so busy doing other things, especially for work or coaching kids or things like that, you know.
I would say now that I have an 8-year-old, my video game time has dropped dramatically.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. No, and that happens. And is now is it the 8-year-old a son, daughter?
Daughter.
If she gets more involved in sports and so forth, will you coach her? Or?
Oh, I already. That's why I didn't start right away in the fall when Matt left. Is I needed Tuesdays and Thursdays to coach 3rd and 4th grade basketball.
Good. Okay. No, completely understand that. It's just you being involved and being there every day. It means a lot.
Oh.
I mean, it means so much. Your daughter is going to appreciate the fact that you were there all the time, and you'll find out when they're in their 20s and 30s what it meant to them. Yeah, you will. Because they'll look back and go, hey, Dad, you were always there. I mean, that means so much.
Just going to say, chorus concert tonight, baby.
Yeah. Now, Suit Light has a different experience, but that's, you know, a different story, different day. And Dad was there every game. I was kind of hoping he'd have a game. No, just kidding. He's tight with his son. That's beautiful. And took off an entire season of doing Shikellamy football because his son was playing at Danville and he wanted to be there every game. What does that tell you about Kevin the father? I mean, now I'm being serious. I'm not kidding around here. It tells you a lot. It's a great tribute to him as a dad that he did that.
Now you're gonna make him pass out. You're being nice to him.
No. But I mean, the other part was our ratings went up. All right, so it's the best season we ever heard. Filazzo was great. Want to get into. Something as a side note. I'll go two side notes here. The conference tournaments are starting now. As we talked to John Griffin in the previous half hour about the Patriot League starting up, and they play Thursday at American. And Doug will be down there with his usual brilliance to bring you the game. And next year, the Big Ten will have 18 schools in it. 15 of the 18 will make the conference tournament. The question's going to be between now and the beginning of next season is what will the scheduling model look like? So let's just take a couple of items and get them off the table right away. Number one, the addition of Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA means absolutely zero to Big Ten wrestling. Those four don't have wrestling. So it's still 14 schools that are wrestling. It'll have no effect on the schedules at all. They'll just still be in their normal rotation as to how they schedule dual meets and how they schedule the conference championship. So wrestling is not affected at all by this because those four schools don't wrestle. We already know what the football schedules happen to be. And I've already openly and repeatedly praised the scheduling on behalf of the Big Ten because I am a firm believer that if you are in a conference, you should be playing everybody, home and away. I've said this over and over again. I've talked about I wasn't crazy about the, you know, that when they went to two divisions, how they kept doing these designated crossovers. that you should have been playing everybody in a five-year span home and away anyway, and I talked about that ad nauseum. But when they came out with the schedule with 18 schools in it, they made sure there was a home and away against everybody all 5 years. Wow. That was well thought out. I mean, I know there's going to be a couple tough road trips in there, which, like, its scheduling is not easy. It's not on the magnitude of the Manhattan Project, but it's still not easy. Right? And, but they did it. So now let's get to basketball. One element we don't have yet. We have one element and not the other. Right now, the element is we know they're going 20 games. We have two of the three elements. We know they're going to continue to play 20 games. Exactly the same number as now. Number two, we know 15 of the 18 make the Big Ten tournament. Not crazy about that. I think that's a potential job killer, but that's a different topic, different day. And number three, what will the schedule look like? So we're getting a little inkling through the grapevine that they very well may, and we'll see how it plays out, take the three, in other words, I've talked about three home and aways, 14 one plays, that the three home and aways at least initially might be regionalized. Now, for the West Coast teams, that works out so much better. Where you know that, okay, let's just take it from USC's point of view. You're going to get home and away with UCLA, home and away with Oregon, home and away with Washington. Okay, they already do that now anyway, right? So it's a sense of normalization there. Now you have seven other road games you have to take care of to get to your 10 road games. Okay. And now you go from there. For a Penn State, it could be a Maryland, Rutgers, maybe Ohio State as home and aways, and then, yeah, and then you have your 14-1 plays with seven of them being on the road. Okay? So that's the inkling we're getting. It doesn't necessarily mean it's those three schools, but if you're regionalizing, those are the closest ones, but you don't know how, you know, maybe you want Michigan to play Ohio State, whatever, you know, as a home and away. I don't know. I think there's only a couple, like, for example, Purdue, Indiana. It's not as if Purdue and Indiana have not had years where they only played each other once. That has happened. Okay? But you would think that, you know, in a regionalization of the three home and aways, that would be a possibility, as an example. So we'll see how that plays out, but we've had at least an inkling that that is part of what they're discussing. By regionalizing the home and aways, which, by the way, benefits the four West Coast teams in terms of their travel.
Do you think, you know, like Rutgers, Penn State, those schools will only have to make one trip out west, maybe do the UCLA, USC thing or Washington, Oregon thing? Or do you think?
I am adamant that that's how they're going to do it. Yeah. I'm adamant that let's just say it turns out this is your trip to Los Angeles this year. You're going to play them in back-to-back. You're not going to go out there twice. You're going to go out there back-to-back, okay? And in going out there back-to-back, you'll play, let's just, at Pauley Pavilion on a Thursday night, you'll play at Galen at USC on a Saturday or Sunday and then fly back, okay? And Oregon and Washington would then come here. Then the next year, you'll go out to the Knight Center in Eugene, and you'll go up to Edmondson and play up in Seattle while USC and UCLA come east and to play you. I think that's how, in the end, my guess is that's how it's going to work. Okay? That's just my guess as to how it's going to work. And I think it brings with it, I feel like what I'm talking about is a common sense approach. You know, and you know, they'll come, every road trip they make east is going to be a two-game trip. Okay, it'll be a two-game trip. You know, you'll be even a two-game trip for them up to Oregon and Washington, the West Coast teams. Okay, and then USC and UCLA. You know, because you have to have seven road games. You have to have what, eight other road games besides that. You can throw in the UCLA USC home and away wherever you want in the schedule. Okay, doesn't really matter. Right? It's just what you do with the other ones to then schedule it in such a way where, hey, they're going to come in, they're going to go east, and it turns out this year they're going to have to play Rutgers and Maryland, okay, bum, 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 get done one trip. Hey, they got to play Nebraska and Iowa, boom, doo, 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 one trip, you know, 2-3 days apart, whatever. Okay. I think that's the way they have to do it in order to make the travel palatable for them. It doesn't really have to be palatable for everybody else in the conference, because you're already doing it now with everybody else, so what's the difference? It'll just be more of the same, and you're going to get one trip to the West Coast anyway. So you're getting one trip to the West Coast, and you're sitting there like going, great, we're going to California in January. Yes! It's very cold here. Meanwhile, they've got to do that how many times? I mean, they're going to have to come east to play a minimum of seven games each.
All those people that make the Southern California trip to Iowa in the middle of winter, right?
Okay.
My goodness, it's cold here. Minnesota. Although Minnesota was a dream this weekend. Because it was 63 degrees. Then it was like the Iowa thing. It was 71 degrees at Iowa on Tuesday in the afternoon. And the temperature, the wind chill was 6 below zero when we went to the plane that night. It dropped that dramatically after the front went through. And I went by the manager and said, now you're in Iowa. So, yeah. So, that's just an inkling. Like, I think that's what they are considering doing, regionalizing the home and aways, which in the end benefits the four West Coast schools in terms of the travel, which you do have to bring into play. That's a lot to ask to, you know, hey, you're going to play Washington once. Oh, no, no. But you have to play Maryland home and away. Can you hold on a second? Okay. Anyway, hold on. Repeat that? All right. We'll take a break. This half hour of our show brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, in the next half hour, there's another side note I want to bring up, because we've talked about Oregon and Washington being in the Big Ten and what that means to schedules and how you have to schedule the West Coast and so forth. The idea of realignment is far from done, and I want to make a couple of points in the next half hour related to that. That I just don't think that. Do I think there's going to be more realignment before the decade is out? I think it's certainly possible, and we know that Florida State is in the middle of its lawsuit with the ACC and so forth. Okay, we'll see how that plays out. But I want to bring up something in the next half hour, monetarily, that those who are really into realignment scenarios of whether the ACC lives, dies, Florida State leaves, stays, where they go, whatever, that I think needs to be thought of before you start making assumptions of what college sports is going to look like. You know, Florida State is interesting because they are one of the 18 schools that comprise 50%, that important 50% of college football viewership. Only 18 schools account for the 50%. That's it. Right now there are 7 in the Big Ten, 8 in the SEC. You know, and two in the ACC, Florida State, Clemson, and Notre Dame. I mean, everybody else is off the radar. Why didn't you bring in Stanford? If I hear that one more time, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There are people in California that don't watch Stanford.
I mean, it's weird with those four West Coast schools in the Big Ten, but Stanford and Cal in the ACC is the one that is just odd.
It makes no sense. You know, when you expand, the idea is to enhance your conference in some way. The ACC, to its credit, when it expanded with Cal, Stanford, and SMU, devalued the conference. From a TV and ratings standpoint, it's stunning. I mean, is the Big 12 better off because they don't have Texas and Oklahoma? Please.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour from the Sunbury Motor Studio brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. So, before I get to the realignment deal, they are proposing a couple of rule changes for college football. One is the use of tablets on sideline, halftime, things like that. That's common sense, logical. They want to add in a 2-minute warning, like the NFL. I want to make something clear about the 2-minute warning, which would be at the end of the first half and the end of the game itself. One element I do need to get would be, after the 2-minute warning, are they going to continue to still stop the clock on first downs like they did this past year? I want to find that part out first. I'm not sure about that part. But for anybody who thinks this is adding commercials to the game, just so you know, you get 4 commercial breaks each quarter. The 2-minute warning is scheduled to be the 4th commercial break of the quarter. Okay, it's not being added. In other words, hey, add 4, here's the 5th one. That is not what they're doing. What they're trying to avoid is the 7-minute drive that ends, and as the drive's going on, you're playing, but there's no commercial break. And then say a team scores, field goal, touchdown, whatever it may be, then what do? They then kick off, and then after the kickoff happens, they then take another commercial break, which frustrates everybody in the stadium. They're hoping that takes that element off the table because they know they're guaranteed 1 at 2 minutes. But that's what that means. It's not going to mean, oh, great, more commercials. No, it's just replacing the 4th break of the quarter at a designated time at 2 minutes to go. Now, what that means for strategy in terms of the usage of timeouts and so forth, like we see in the NFL, using timeouts before the 2-minute warning, things like that. Okay, we can debate that once they go through this. But if you think it's going to add commercials to the game and make it longer, no. It's replacing the 4th commercial break of the 2nd quarter and the 4th commercial break of the 4th quarter. Okay? I hope that helps clear that up because some people have been And justifiably have been like, hey, wait a minute, what does this mean? And I'm just clarifying for you what it means. All right. Realignment. We're not going to be done with realignment, and we know what Florida State is doing right now with their suit against the ACC and the ACC's countersuit against Florida State and so forth. But there's an element of this that in the zeal to realign college football, not at the moment by power brokers, but fans having fun with it. And the fans are having fun with it. Realignment is a fun topic to talk about. But there's also an assumption that is made by those who really get into realignment that is a premise that is missing, and it is this. The networks and the streaming services do not have unlimited money. Ask yourself, there are 18 schools that make up 50% of the television viewership in college. Two of them happen to be Oregon and Washington joining the Big Ten. They are two of the coveted 18. Okay. Ask yourself, why is it when Oregon and Washington finally got into the Big Ten that they will get half the number of the other 16 schools for the next 6 years? Ask yourself, why? Because the TV deal was already set, negotiated. Tony Petitti went to Fox and said, hey, look, we really want to do this. Is it possible for you to bankroll it, but at half rate? And Fox went along with it. Florida State happens to be one of the 18. But Oregon and Washington are in that club as well. Ask yourself why Oregon and Washington for 6 years, not just this year, but for 6 years, will take half of what everybody else is if there's unlimited money. Oregon and Washington are making the long play because they will be full partners in the next TV deal. Whenever you expand, whether it's the college football playoff, whether it's a conference, whatever it may be, when it is done, okay, does everybody get a bigger slice of the pie? Which means that by coming in, the pie is bigger, now everybody gets bigger slices. The financial pie gets bigger, and everybody gets bigger financial slices because the pie has to grow. When Penn State came in and they negotiated the new TV contract, which was a 10-year deal at the time, Penn State's presence added into the Michigan and Ohio State, and okay, took the Big Ten pie and it grew it, where now everybody was getting a much larger slice than they previously had, even though there was an 11th mouth to feed. When Nebraska came in, they added the Big Ten championship game. Yes, there's a 12th mouth to feed, but guess what? The pie got bigger. Everybody got a bigger slice. So it pays off. And we can debate Maryland and Rutgers. I know there's the 16 million homes that did a lot for, especially Big Ten Network. And they did get a bigger contract, so everybody did get more. Okay. But when 2 years ago, we're sitting here. Now, it hadn't come out at this point. Now, if I remember, it came out in late April, early May, 2 years ago from Kevin Warren, that they were looking to have the TV deal in the neighborhood of Memorial Day, give or take a few days. He indicated that, and then Memorial Day, and we talked about it on the show. Memorial Day came and went, and there's no deal. Well, then we found out why there was no deal. Because USC, Mike Bone, then the athletic director, got a hold of Mark Silverman at Fox and said, hey, look, what are the possibilities of us getting into the Big Ten? And being a, because everybody knew the numbers in the Big Ten were going to be big numbers for everybody. So Mike Bone got it. He didn't call Warren, okay? He called, all right, I've got this on very good authority. It's not, you know, Tony Knopp can confirm it for me, but I got it from somebody else that I trust. So, and then in the end, Tony confirmed it for me, so I've got two sources. All right. They didn't call Kevin Warren, please. All right. And, well, when that happened, everybody went, whoa, Los Angeles, Southern California, markets. Huh. And it kicked the number up even higher for everybody. So in the end, everybody got, in this new TV deal, a bigger slice of the pie. Well, if Oregon and Washington were to come in, remember, the deal with NBC, the deal with CBS, the deal with Fox had already been done, and Oregon and Washington were still in that fogged in, circling that fogged in airport with the Pac-12 about what was going to happen with their deal without USC and UCLA. And then everything broke apart, and they said, look, and the Big Ten a year earlier had already vetted Oregon and Washington about the conference. But again, do you want a number that has 18 where everybody's going to get less than they thought they were going to get? Because that part, you know, well, when the push came to shove, Oregon and Washington took half. It's bankrolled essentially by Fox, which means it's revenue neutral for everybody else in the conference, and they don't lose less, they don't gain more out of it. They're getting the same numbers that they were going to get originally. So again, when you're talking about expansion, let's take Notre Dame off the table for the moment. They've signed their deal through, what, 2029 with NBC, whatever. So let's take them off the table. Let's put Florida State on the table. If Oregon and Washington, who are in the same pool of those 18 schools that draw 50% of the TV viewership, why is it they got half or thereabouts, whatever the number, it's somewhere in that neighborhood of percentage. They got half the end of the Big Ten. They didn't get a full cut. They didn't get a full cut. You have to ask that question. If you don't ask that question, you're not taking a realistic look at what's going on with any potential conference realignment. If you're the SEC, you have a deal with ESPN, which is going to be very interesting if ESPN does direct to consumer, I mean, about the ability to make money out of it. That's going to be very interesting to see because they are in bed with the SEC. The SEC is in bed with ESPN exclusively into the early 2030s. That aside, you already have this split by 16. And I believe that the first year for Oregon, for Oklahoma and Texas, they get less because they are, because they were closing out, this was supposed to be their last year in the Big 12. They left a year early. They paid the grant of rights fee, they paid the exit fee, and they both got out, $50 million apiece. Okay? And there's a lot of talk that ESPN doesn't want to kick in more money to expand. They have their limits. They're already paying Florida State a number to be in the ACC. Why do they want to pay more? Why? And that's what you have to be asking over and over again. Yes, Florida State brings with it a brand that's one of the 18 that brings in 50% of all the viewership. So they're one of the coveted 18, no question. They are in the state of Florida. Great market. Population growth. TV sets, streaming, everything that goes with it. But can you justify it with your TV partners? Can you do it without decreasing anybody's slice of the pie? And why is it Oregon and Washington had to take half to be in? And that's why those are questions that you need to ask as you move forward with this. Nothing is ever, oh, they're available, it's a slam dunk. No, it's not a slam dunk. Because the financial numbers have to work out. And you can't be looking at people within the conference saying, hey, we want to get this team, but everybody's going to have to take less. Now, why the heck should I take less? I already have 18 schools in this conference. Why do I have to take less? It has to be something where I'm not going to lose any, and in the end, am I going to gain? And that's a big part of this. Oregon and Washington are, like Florida State, among the 18 brands that take in the 50% of TV viewing. Why is it those two ended up getting half? Why is it that Oklahoma and Texas are not getting full shares this year? I mean, these are questions you need to ask because there is not an unlimited pool of money out there. There just isn't. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, closing out for the Sunbury Motors Studio. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar, led by the personal favorites, Barrels and Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. So, just... yeah, covered some ground today. It's always fun to have a little fun covering some ground. And it is a bye week, by the way, for Penn State basketball. The Lady Lions have to play in the Big Ten tournament. Bucknell's in the Patriot League tournament. The Big Ten wrestling championships are this week as well. And then you get a couple weeks off, and then the NCAAs, and then go from there.
We're less than a month from first pitch of baseball, too, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Matter of fact, and you know what? I looked at the schedule. I think everybody knows I grew up in New England. And I saw in mid-April, the week after the Blue-White game, that the Red Sox are in Pittsburgh. Well, I think I might go down and catch that. You know what? I think I might go down and just catch a game, because I haven't been to a Major League Baseball game since 2019. 5 years. Went to a Red Sox-Astros game up at Fenway. And then the year before that, I caught the Pirates and the Marlins on a Friday night at PNC Park. I haven't been to Citizens Bank Park in maybe 7 or 8 years.
I usually get the one Phillies game a year. My brother has usually gets a season ticket package. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, part of it is for me is time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a big part of it. Not desire, but time. I love going to a ball game, kicking my feet back and, you know, just enjoying a ball game. Love doing that. If you're a Phillies fan, it's been incredibly fun for all of you to go back and kick your feet back because that the Phillies, to the Phillies' credit, they're not only a really, really good team, but they're a fun team to watch. You know, they're dynamic. They run the bases. They play hard. They've got good starting pitching. They've got a bullpen that can make life exciting at times. But they're a fun team to watch, right? But I've got to give Philadelphia credit. It's the only city in America where you can't bring Santa Claus to a football game and you can't sell dollar dogs at a baseball game.
They're at least consistent.
Yep. Would love to sign a free agent contract there. Your fans can't do what? They're so irresponsible, you can't give them dollar hot dogs?
Yeah, but they'll love you unconditionally, though.
All that is not true. That is not true. Jason Kelce, they'll love unconditionally because he played great all the time. All right. How many people have been called bums in that city?
Well, I was just going to say, I flash back to Trey Turner's summer last summer.
Yeah. Although, hey, look, but the fans gave him the standing O, turned the season around.
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool moment.